T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
People, look alive! It's showtime!
Now live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, it's Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
So shut up and listen.
Doors open in 3, 2, 1.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries, Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. I'm Bart Winkler, Chuck Freeman, Sam Schmitz. You can vote for all of us in the Fandemonium Bracket today at 6 o'clock. That will be released for you. The voting, that is, 1057fmthefan.com. The Brewers should be playing the Cubs in about 4 hours, and they are not. No opening day today, but we've been doing the same kind of show we would have if it was opening day. Tim Allen on the program, Adam McKelvey, Chicago Cubs guest. We just talked to Matt Spiegel. All of those interviews will be available for you as well as our whole show coming up, 1057fmthefan.com and the radio.com app. Also, while I'm going to quiz Chuck a little bit here about opening days of yesteryear, we will talk to you guys. 414-799-1250 if you've got any Brewers thoughts that you want to talk about, what you're doing for opening day. Are you watching some of the games that are shown today? I don't have like a specific narrow question to elicit response. I just want you guys to know that, hey, if you want to talk Brewers with us, we're going to be doing that for an hour. So call in, feel free, 799-1250. Well, I guess we could ask Chuck, are you a gas grill or a charcoal grill guy? And then, you know, we'll be on the air until 6 o'clock tonight. But I just, if you guys want to talk Brewers, we're here to talk at any time. We may be the last social output for some of you, like we are for each other. So we are certainly here for you during today and during every day.
Yeah, I think we're all sad because opening day is not here this week. And it is. It's tough. It came upon us quickly, man. It's just, man, you know, since we decided 2 weeks ago, it was 2 weeks ago today, we shut down the ACC tournament and followed, and everybody else followed after that, the SEC and the Big East played a half of one tournament game.
Which is so weird in retrospect.
It was. The last official regular season game that was played, or tournament game that was played, I want to say Indiana. I think Indiana played Nebraska in the Big Ten tournament. I think that was the last official last college basketball game played, completed. And so that's where we stand at this point. And man, yeah, of course we're all going to miss baseball this weekend, and going forward and want it back. It's going to be a void. You know, a few years ago, baseball, Bart, decided to go to the earlier start, go to late March, which I thought was a great idea. You know, this weekend it'd be great to have baseball on TV and today to be going out to the ballpark, but not the case.
Again, 414-799-1250 is we're tailgating with you here. See, the lots would normally open up and then people would have us on the radio and listen to the coverage and give the lineup, and you know, it's just another reminder of what could have been. So hopefully we're helping bring some normalcy today, as same with Fox Sports Wisconsin showing last year's game. We're either making today much better or much worse. But I'm going to tailgate here. I grabbed a Coors Light, which I think is acceptable. So let's just pop that open.
Yeah.
I mean, and cheers. Miller Coors. Prost. I know it's only 9 o'clock, but it's pandemic rules. Nothing matters.
Yeah. No, it doesn't matter. Is it? You said you had a can there or a bottle?
Oh, it's a bottle.
Bottle, okay.
Yeah. So I'm tapping into the Rockies.
What's going to go on the grill?
It's on the grill? Whatever my wife cooks today.
No. I thought you were going to grill out too. Aren't you going to grill out?
Yeah, I decided.
I caught you between zips.
To.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Oh, that tastes good at 9 o'clock. Nothing tastes better than a morning beer.
It's different when you have a morning beer on opening day than if you have a morning beer in January.
When I would go to college parties, and like especially in Madison, when I would go on the weekends, you would get up before the game. You get up at like 7:30, and you mm-hmm. would be drinking just some rat's pee beer, like some of the worst beer that you could find. But at 7:30 on a Saturday morning on a game day, it tasted so good.
Why is that? I it does.
Because it's nasty.
Or if you're in Green Bay tailgating at a Packer game. For a sporting event, having a beer in the morning, because I'm not a real day drinker, but having one in the morning or in the afternoon at an event or for a sporting event is much different than if on a random Wednesday you and I, you know, popped over to a bar and had a beer at 10 o'clock in the morning.
414-799-1250, 414-799-1250, tailgating with us today, and we appreciate that. You could tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. So you've been to Miller Park or County Stadium for every opening day but one since 75?
Yes, 2015, because I was at the Final Four covering Wisconsin against Duke, and I watched the game on my phone the first couple of innings. The Brewers were getting blown out, and then I headed to the Final Four.
Tell me about 1975. And if you hear my kid at all, let me know. He's talking.
Henry Aaron came back to the Milwaukee Brewers. And the Brewers played, I honestly don't know who they played that day. I was 8 years old, but I remember seeing Henry Aaron, and I have the game program somewhere.
They played
and
the Indians. How dare you?
Oh, okay. You know what? You know how I remember, you know what was significant about that game too? That was the first game that Major League Baseball had a black manager, because Frank Robinson took over as the manager of the Cleveland Indians. And his first game was against the Brewers at County Stadium, I want to say.
Nice.
Yeah. But, I mean, obviously I'm 8 years old, so I don't really fully understand it at the time. But I know Henry Aaron made his return to Milwaukee. The Brewers made a trade in the offseason to get him from Atlanta, and he spent the 1975 and 76 season as a part-time player with the Brewers.
Let me ask you about some of these games and see what else you remember. Obviously, you always remember your first, mm-hmm. right? No matter how awkward it was. Let me think. I'm going to try to stump you right away. Opening day, 1995.
That was a short season. The season got started off shorter than normal because of the strike. The strike from 94 carried over to 95. It was a really cold day at County Stadium, as most games were. I want to say the Brewers won the game. I don't remember who they played, but they won the game, and somebody hit a grand slam that day. I think it was either Dave Nielsen or John Jaha. Hit a grand slam.
Brewers beat the White Sox 12-3.
Okay.
April 26, 1995.
Later start.
John Jaha hit a grand slam in the first
Jaha. Game. Okay. Okay, all right. I was thinking it was either him or Dave Nielsen.
Not bad. Okay, all right. Okay. How about opening day 19... This should be an easy one. 1987.
You know, the 90s pretty much are a blah. The 90s, because the Brewer baseball were dead, but I mean, I kind of went around that. Oh, 87, that's when the Brewers started their, you know, on their way to a 13-0 record. They beat the Red Sox that day. Certainly, remember that. At County Stadium, it was a cold day, and the Brewers won. Teddy Higuera was the opening day starter.
They won 5-1. Higuera was the pitching matchup, yeah. Mm-hmm. 7 shutout innings.
Oh, wow, okay.
For Teddy okay. Higuera.
And I bet you Plesac closed it out?
That I don't know.
Okay.
I'm reading Tom Haudricourt's article.
Oh.
Whatever he told me is what I'm reading.
Okay.
That's what I assume,
because Plesac was an all-star in 87, 88, 89. I assume he closed that one out for the Brewers. Although they won 5-1, so I guess nobody would get a save in that game.
How about opening day of the year 2000 for the Brewers?
Oh, my God. Now we're talking about a dead time with the Milwaukee Brewers. 2000, Miller Park was not open. Miller Park was supposed to open in 2000, but of course it did not open. I can't tell you. Honestly, I can't tell you who won 2000.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Davey Lopez was the manager.
Okay.
But
the Brewers
I can't tell you who
won that game 4-3.
Beating who?
The Florida Marlins.
Okay, wow. All right. Don't remember that one.
Yeah.
2000, what a forgettable year. I mean, I want to say, you know, Brewer baseball from 95 to 2001, pretty empty. I kind of vacated that part of my life for Brewer baseball.
Do you hear anything in the background going on in my house or no?
Anything in the background?
Yeah, let me know if you do.
No.
Okay.
No.
My wife's entertaining my kid. I just wanted to make sure.
Oh, no, I hear nothing.
Okay. Because yesterday I could hear the squeaking of your chair.
Okay, well, my chair, I feel like he's been squeaking a couple times and I've caught it. But there's nobody home at my house, so if you hear a voice in my house, it's the next door neighbors going at it again.
How about opening day 1992?
Opening day 92. Wow, that was one. That's both of ours. We both share that as one of our favorite seasons.
Love that season.
Yeah, Phil Garner's first year.
Hold on, I need a drink.
Okay. Phil Garner's first year, and the Brewers had a decent season, and the Brewers beat the Twins, I want to say.
No, they lost to the Twins.
Oh, they lost to the Twins?
4-2.
Okay, I thought they beat the Twins. Okay. Lost 92, I should have remembered. I should have remembered that one. They lost to the Twins. That was with, the Twins team had Chuck Knoblauch and people like that, but that was Phil Garner's first game as the Brewer manager, and they won 92 games that year.
Opening day 2006.
2006. Okay. Now, 2006. We had some high hopes for the Brewers in 2006 because they finished 500 for the first time in a long time. The Brewers beat the Pirates that day, I want to say. Brewers beat the Pirates. Carlos Lee went yard, and the Brewers won.
Carlos Lee went yard, a two-run homer off of Matt Capps. And Doug Davis had six innings, and then the Brewers won 5-2. You know, you're doing a good job at this. I can barely remember, and they're showing it throughout the day today on Fox Sports Wisconsin, but I really could barely remember last year's game. Even though it had that great catch by Lorenzo Cain, I certainly remember it now. But yeah. I have a hard time. My memory's not as sharp maybe as yours.
No, I remember that game not only for that inning, but the Brewers won 3 of 4. Because remember the Sunday game they won on Jeff Cirillo had an amazing series. Not Jeff Cirillo. I'm looking at Jeff Cirillo. I'm looking at his baseball card right here. Who had an amazing series for the Brewers that weekend? Opening weekend. They had an amazing series.
Yeah, I know Yelich was like a Cardinal killer.
Maybe it was Yelich.
We thought that they should start walking him.
It was. Yelich had an amazing series because he had the game-winning hit on that Sunday. That's what it was. Yes, Yelich had an amazing series. I was thinking it might have been Thamesy, but it was Yelich who had an amazing weekend. And it was like, because the Monday morning, you and I debated for a while, should you just intentionally walk Yelich every time up or pitch to him?
Yeah, right. And I said they should have. And then, because at home, last year at home, Yelich was unbelievable, especially in the month of, to start the season and then the month of April. He was so good.
And he hit that one in the opposite field in the ninth inning to win the game. Yeah.
Oh, and that catch by Cain, too, now that I remember it. And again, they're going to broadcast that on Fox Sports Wisconsin today. What we're doing today is sort of the same idea. We're pretending it's opening day, and a lot of networks are going to be showing some games today. YouTube channels for MLB, Facebook. The game one of the NLDS was on this morning for the Brewers. They gave us the 7:30 start time for some reason, but I don't know if I'm going to turn it on today. One, we did relive it. Two, you know, it's hypocritical for us to do an opening day show and then me not getting the spirit, just find an excuse to have a beer at 9 o'clock in the morning. But I want this year's team. I want to see. I don't want to see Grandal and Moustakas. I want to see the new guys. I want to see Brandon Woodruff on the mound. I want to see this year's opening day team. And however long it takes to get that, as we're talking with Matt Spiegel, I really don't care what it looks like. I don't care if it's a tournament. I don't care if it's a four-game tournament. I don't care if it's they play like you would on a Little League weekend where you play six games in 2 days and then you crown a winner by who had the most wins. I just want to see some baseball today. And really, I know it's only 39 and cloudy, but it's opening day weather, man. It's opening day. You get to the ballpark. The last few opening days, what I would do is I would walk around the parking lot and talk to people. I would just say, hey, what's up? Why are you here? And they would tell me these stories. I met one guy who I'm sure has passed away by now, but he said he was terminal with cancer. And he came from all the way like Wisconsin Rapids or something. And his family organized and put together and found a way for him to get to one more opening day. And I just talked to some random guy that day. I wanted him to say, oh, because I love the Brewers and I want to get drunk. And he tells me this great story about how he's been a Brewer fan his whole life. And it's just those are the kind of people that I've been able to meet over the years. And I always enjoy doing that. And I do miss that today.
Yeah, I do too. I miss it. The day after or on our post game show, it's overreaction day because we're either really loving the Brewers or really hating the Brewers. But there's so many things to miss about opening day. The food out there, you know, just walking in the ballpark, the smell of the ballpark, and everybody headed in. And, you know, back in County Stadium, people were heading in with parkas and blankets and all that. And obviously, you know, there's only been one Miller Park, there's only been one day in Miller Park history where opening day, the roof has been open, and that was in 2010.
It wouldn't have been open today.
No. But I'm saying one day in Miller Park history where the roof
was... How warm was it that day? Wow.
I don't remember, but it was open. I looked it up. 2010 was the only day where Miller Park roof was open on opening day.
Wow.
Warmest opening day... 1977, I remember the Brewers are facing the Orioles, and we had spring break. I was in fourth grade, and I remember going to the game, and the Brewers lost 1-0 to Jim Palmer and the Orioles. It was 81. Man, it was hot outside. It was warm outside. I feel like when I was a kid, it was warmer in March and April than it is today, these days.
Well, it's called climate change.
Yeah, I think that's what's happening. Actually, but I feel like we had more 70 degree March days than we do today.
Have you seen these like graphs or studies where people are like, well, if you look at a map, because everyone's staying in their home and not driving, pollution's actually gone down and we're cooling down the earth. Okay, I mean, I'm a big let's not kill the planet guy too, but I'd rather be outside or, you know, polluting the air a little bit than being stuck in our home.
Instead of polluting my house.
Yeah, man, how are you doing on toilet paper, by the way?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Oh, plenty. I mean, that's people are going too much on that. We're doing fine with the toilet paper. It's just that we need a little cleaning around this house a little bit. It's because we've been around here for so much that, because we're, you know, our family, we're not home a lot. We go out and do things and all that, but we've been around a lot. And
yeah, you're Dodge County socialites.
It is. We're Dodge County socialites. But being, you know, in the house as much, I notice the house gets a little bit more. I mean, I'm picking up the house every day. Picking up the house stuff, cups, and, you know, I notice emptying the waste basket and taking it out to the garbage can is a lot more these days because we're eating in more. We're not going out and, obviously, we're not going to restaurants. And we're either bringing it home or we're making it here.
The one thing that we do that it's like, why do we do it, but we still do it, is the kid will just make a, you know, he's got the whole house turns into a play area. Mm-hmm. And then we pick it up every night for him to just completely destroy it again the next day.
Yes, isn't that amazing? I always thought that too. Why are we picking up the house when we got this little baby here who's going to just, and as you get older, like my 8-year-old, he could turn a clean house into a messy house in 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. Spilling things. He was doing that yesterday. But you watch, the older he gets, you'll be like, oh, why am I going to clean the house when he's just going to mess it up the next day anyway?
Matt says, congratulations, it's beer 30. let's see. Wow. Let's see. Matt Matty Ice says, this feels like a funeral today.
Our show or the day itself?
I think both.
Well, we're trying to bring some happiness
to it. We're kind of doing a eulogy to opening day. That's one of the things, though, Chuck, and I've brought this up with a couple of our guests. I might have brought it up with all of them. When baseball comes back, I don't know that it's, you know, you watch these games and these people are out in crowds. I don't know that we get back to that point for a while because there's going to be more waves of this thing. We're not going to completely kill this thing. It's going to come back. Now, if there's a vaccine and if there's a cure, well, then obviously it'll be easier. Oh, I got COVID-19. I'll take some NyQuil. You know, I got a cold. I'll take some NyQuil. That would be better. But to get back in those crowds like that, I won't know at what point I won't look around Miller Park if I go as a fan and think, which of these guys have coronavirus? You know what I'm saying? I don't think that's going to go away quickly.
No, but I think it eventually will. One thing that has gone down with no sports is my stress level. Because, hey, like we're watching opening day today, you know, you're on the edge of your seat. You got to win, you know, these Brewer games, you're watching them at the edge of your seat. These Bucks games, you know, these playoff games that we're going to have here, we're supposed to have here in a month, you know, you're on the edge of your seat. You know, if we're betting on these NCAA tournament games and doing, you know, in the March Madness pools, we're going through stress, sweating out these games. We haven't had that for the last 2 weeks. Man, I feel like my blood pressure, if I even have any blood pressure anymore, has gone completely down.
That's why I need to get MLB The Show. I think I'm going to get on PlayStation 4 to get some competition back in my life and start playing some games and get all worked up. Although, usually when I lose in video games, I just reset it anyway and go 162-0 because I can't. I always have to win the first game. Whenever I play Madden or NBA or whatever game, I have to win the first game. It's just I have to do it. So even if I lose the first game, I'll reset the entire season and start over. I go 1-15 maybe, but I just have to win that first game. I don't know why. It's probably stupid, but I always have to win that game. So I'll start doing that. The other thing is I'm getting more sleep because I'm not staying up till 11 o'clock at night watching games, you know? I'm not, okay, I'll watch Lakers-Clippers, even though we're not going to talk about it tomorrow. Then I'll throw $10 on FanDuel. So I've probably saved a lot of money on gambling, too.
Yeah, I mean, watching these games and then you get hooked into watching them and you feel like, okay, even though you got the Clippers -3, they're up by 18 points, but it's an NBA game and you want to see their, you don't want to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, check your phone and find the Clippers lost to the Rockets. So you stay up and you watch the very end of it with Kevin Harlan.
Yeah, I'll watch anything right now. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to watch NASCAR on Sunday.
Do you think people will, okay, now the feeling is that people will be that starved for sports that when it does come back, it'll be a complete rush, kind of like the baby boom, the sports boom.
I think a lot of that's going to be that way. I think that people, you know, I'm somebody that stayed at home a lot anyway because I like being at home, but I had the option to leave, you know. Now that you don't really have the option to leave, and you can still go for a walk and stuff and, you know, go somewhere, but you don't have the option to meet your buddy at the bar. You don't have the option to go to a game. You don't have the option to do that stuff. So I think that a lot of people will rush to that. The downside of that is, well, then it's going to start the spread of this thing again. This is a weird time. I don't think that we truly understand what it is we're living in right now.
Well, we've never been at this point where everything has been shut down. I mean, I feel like it's Christmas Eve where there's nothing going on. You can't go to a restaurant. You can't go anywhere. You're pretty much, I mean, you can't go anywhere. If you had to get something, you can't get it anywhere. All the stores are closed. All the restaurants are closed. That's the way Christmas Eve night usually is. Yeah, I mean, I've slipped up a few times. Like I was thinking, I have to head down and drop off a rental car. And I'm like, oh, we should grab something. Where do you want to eat on the way? Oh, sorry, we can't eat on the way back because this place that we usually go to doesn't offer takeout. So we can't go to that place anyway. So, but we've been doing the takeout, but I still slip up thinking, hey, you know, well, we'll just eat at this place on the way down there, but then forget, hey, you know, we're probably going to have to eat in the car.
Yeah. I mean, it is a different world. We asked you guys on Facebook and on Twitter, what are you most excited for when baseball returns? Some of the comments, Todd says just green grass and warm temperatures. Tim says I need to see sunshine again, and I want to see how this roster works out. A shortened season could help the Brewers with their pitching staff by committee. I do think that the Brewers would be one of the teams to benefit. Now, even as I say that in the back of my head, it is still weird to talk about this with everything going on, but this is our opening day show, so I'm going to give us a pass. I do think whenever baseball comes back, that the Brewers being down on them, nothing matters. Anything goes. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter what your roster construction is. If you only play 40 games in baseball where things are, hey, one crack of the bat here, you know, one inch here, one inch there, there's so much more, there's so many more variables that you're not built for a team to win 162 games. Although I would like credit, Chuck, because I've been telling you that there's no way the Brewers are going to win 81 games this season, and I've been proven right. So I would like credit on that.
Because if they come back and play a half a season, they're not going to go 81-0.
Thank you for doing the math on that.
They're not going to go 81-0.
No joke can't just be on this show. It's got to be fully explained to the most intricate detail.
I'm trying to figure it out and explain it to to myself.
I know that's the problem.
You know what I don't like with sport. I miss sports. I've always, you know, you look forward to watching something at night, and you look forward to watching. For me, it's sports. I mean, I look forward to, okay, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh man, a couple of hours of Brewer game while the Bucks game is going to be starting, or on weekends, you know, getting up on Saturday morning and college basketball starts at 11 a.m. or the NFL starts at noon, unless they're playing in Britain. But, you know, I mean, for the last 2 weeks, 4 or 5 o'clock rolls around. It's like, man, because it's cold outside, what am I going to watch on TV tonight? Oh, what am I going to watch? I'm just trying to get to the 9 o'clock news to watch something. But it's like, you know, I'm not watching any sports on TV because that's what I usually watch. You know, I can't read about sports in the newspaper or online because there's nothing going on. I mean, at this point, it's like, man, I'm watching these movies, but I'm tired of watching movies at this point. I've run out of resources.
I've got something for you to watch. Have you ever heard of a movie called Space Jam?
No. Is that the animated movie?
Yeah, Michael Jordan's in it.
Yeah. It would involve me going on to Redbox and actually paying for it probably at this point.
Ben says, good call on getting MLB The Show for PlayStation 4. Add weed. All right.
Add weed?
I'll do anything these days. It's Chuck and Winkler. We're served up by Perkins. Little flashback coming up. Ed Cedar unavailable to talk to us today, although we may be able to change that in a couple of minutes here. Brewers third base coach, at least sort of. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. Freems, one of the places that you could still go and get some pickup during this time, is one of the hottest spots in Wisconsin.
Yes, you got a player, north side of Waukesha. Waukesha's great north side. Well, the COVID virus has affected many in our lives, but our favorite sports bar is still up and running as far as carryout is concerned. Yeah, we can't go inside and enjoy their game room and all that and TVs, sports and all the TVs, but they're still serving up at the Q Club. Their curbside pickup from 11 a.m. until 9 p.m. Such favorites, their loaded burgers. Their burgers, fantastic. The wraps, the signature sandwiches, the salads, and the best wings you'll find all at the Q Club of Wisconsin on Waukesha's Great North Side. You want to do a little curbside pickup tonight or this afternoon for lunch? 262-522-3615. That number again, 262-522-3615 to place your order. Visit their website, qclubowi.com. You got the full menu on there, so you can browse the menu right online there and call them up and see, hey, I'll take this, this, this. I'll be around at this time to pick it up. Locally owned businesses, of course, need your support more than ever. And, hey, you know, stop on out today. Stop out this afternoon. Call ahead. The Q Club of Wisconsin, especially if you're on the north side of Waukesha, man, it is a great place to go. 262-522-3615. Easy to get to. 2454 North Grandview Boulevard, half mile south of I-94. The 94 exit is the Highway T exit that leads you to Grandview Boulevard. So take that, and you go about a half mile south in, and you're right there. Visit the Q Club on WI.com on Facebook or online, wherever you want to get it. Q Club is there for you, 11 a.m. until 9 p.m. Monday through Sunday, their grill is open for curbside pickup. It's the Q Club of Wisconsin on Waukesha's Great North Side.
MLB's theme today is opening day at home. We're doing the same thing, bringing you opening day type shows throughout the entirety of the day here on The Fan today. And we continue with a little trip down memory lane next. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It's time for another Chuck and Winkler flashback.
Chuck and Winkler on The Fan. We've got our Fandemonium bracket that is going to be open for voting at 6 o'clock tonight. 64 personalities that have been on the programs, hosting, guests, insiders, 64 of them making the bracket, and the voting will start tonight. You can already see it at 1057fmthefan.com. I do have some issues with some. Don't tell Horvat. I think he's pretty high as a 4 seed. I don't think he's been here long enough to be a 4 seed. Yeah, Rami Makhlouf's only a 3 seed, which I think also is a mistake.
Horvat gets a big push from management, so I think that has something to do with it.
Okay.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
There are two people who get tremendous pushes from management, Bill Schmidt and Ryan Horvat.
Bigger than my push?
They
pick me off the street to host a morning show. What the hell?
not quite, but yes. No. Gary, I'll give you even a little more credit than that.
Okay. Ben Wargle's not on there. I'm a little bummed about that. Brendan Schultz, one of our producers, not on there. I'm bummed about
that. Rob Reichel
not on there. Bummed about that. I think Steph Sutton could have made the bracket. It is a little devoid of women. I think there's one woman on there.
Who?
Summer Santana.
Yeah. She did the race car show, the NASCAR show with Fife back in the day.
And Ed Cedar's not on there.
Cedar should be on there.
Yeah.
Just for being an all-around good guy.
So Ed Cedar, a longtime guest of the shows, and some seasons we have him on a few times, some seasons we have him on weekly, the third base coach of our show. There was one week where, this was a couple of years ago, we couldn't get a hold of him. So I did my Ed Cedar impression and was interviewed by Chuck. So this is a little Chuck and Winkler flashback. Chuck Freeman interviewing, quote unquote, Ed Cedar.
Brewers win the game last night, and dramatic fashion, they win it 5-4 over the St. Louis Cardinals. And we've already woken up. The Brewer third base coach, Ed Cedar, joining us on the show. Ed, what a win last night for you guys.
Oh, you didn't even wake me up, Chuck. I didn't even go to sleep last night.
You're kidding. What kept you up all night?
Oh, just the clubhouse was, you were down there. It was such a great atmosphere. We had, Yelich was there, and Braun was happy, and Lorenzo Cain was playing Connect Four with Hernan Perez's son. It's just a jovial time right now in Milwaukee, except for all the snow we got overnight. I didn't expect that to come.
Connect Four, is that your game?
I'm more of an old-fashioned tic-tac-toe man myself.
Okay.
I like to take the center square. Marcia usually beats me, however.
I've never been good at tic-tac-toe, Connect Four, or checkers. Those are the big three. I suck at all. And video games, too.
Can you play chess at all?
Oh, chess, God. My six-year-old knows more how to move these the chess figurines than I do. I'm completely lost. I have no idea.
Guys like DJ's always saying, he was saying the other day, baseball is like a game of chess, and I'm just like, I just know tic-tac-toe, DJ. That's all I can play.
As Cedar Brewer, third base coach, joining us, and I've noticed that you use nicknames a lot when you talk on this show, and sometimes I don't know. I mean, I you're talking about there, Johnson, the pitching coach, but sometimes you use some of these nicknames. I don't know who the hell you're talking about.
Well, baseball, that's how we do it. They call me Crazy Eyes Ed down in the clubhouse. So it's just a little thing that we do in baseball because that's just, I don't know really what to say. It's just what we do.
Did you like giving up your number to Low Kane?
It doesn't matter to me. It's just a number. He kind of joked about it. He's making $80 million. I'm making you know, just enough money to afford loose leaf paper to play tic-tac-toe. But the fact that I still have a job after five different managers, they can pay me whatever they want.
All right. Let me ask you this. Just a little questionable last night. You sending Manny Pena from second base. Usually it takes Manny three singles to score from third base, but you tried to score him from second on a base hit last night. Just curious, why you sent him?
No, this is the funny part about it, is that I'm not a big catch guy, but after the play, Counts came up to me and he said, "That was a real chess move." What I was thinking, Chuck, is that because the Arcia was coming up, Orlando was coming up, and then the Cardinals, just by the scouting we did, we thought they would walk him. And then Chase Anderson, you know, the pitcher, although other teams' pitchers in Miller Park do a pretty good job. I just thought, hey, this is going to be our chance for a run. So, you know, you got to be aggressive in baseball. I'm not on Twitter. Were people saying anything bad about me last night?
You know, send him home, Cedar, I think, was the word that was used. What do you think of that? Yeah.
I always thought that mean, like, the Brewers are playing so well that people can go home early because I'm sending everybody home and the game's over right away. The Brewers have a big lead. Is there a negative connotation to that?
Yeah, maybe a little bit, but that's okay. I mean, that's Manny was thrown up by a wide margin last night. But,
we would just have to work on our sprints today before the game, I guess.
Who would win in a race between Manny Pena and Yadi Molina?
I don't know. I never give a definitive answer, so I won't on this one either. I'd say it'll be a tie.
You have to time both of the calendar, that's for sure.
Oh, Chuck.
All right. Well, Ed, I'll let you, you know, you got to get some rest. You got another one coming up later on. You know, it was nothing better than beating a Cardinals. If you're going to beat any team like that, be it the Cubs or the Cardinals, and last night it was the Cardinals. It was good to see those guys go down and come on the wrong end of one of those games once in a while.
I used to play for the White Sox.
Yeah, but they're no longer the enemy since, you know, the Brewers moved over to the National League, although you guys play the White Sox coming up in next month, I think. In June, you guys got them, yeah.
Yeah, that should be fun. But you're right. We got the Cardinals tonight, so I should probably get to bed. Like I said, I've been up all night just thinking about that game. What a great win.
All right, Ed. Thank you. Ed Cedar.
Bye, Chuck.
Brewer third base coach joining us. And apparently, you know, the master of the tic-tac-toe game. Tic-tac-toe, connect four, checkers. It's all good.
Sometimes you got to improvise frames, and we did this morning. Nothing but love for a guy, Ed Cedar.
Yeah, and still holding down that third base job, without a doubt. Ed, he sent Manny Pena home from second base. I got to go back now and remember.
Yeah, he did.
God.
Well,
really
I saw him turning on the Jets there, and I thought I've seen him run pretty fast to the line to get the food in the morning when we've got the the breakfast on Sundays. I thought maybe he could be a little motivated and get the scoring run. But sometimes things don't work out, and you just gotta take them as they come, there, Chucker.
Well, what was good about that? You had the nicknames, you had the mention of the wife's name, like you mentioned.
Marcia and I taking the dog down.
Running the sprints. Maybe we got to run a few more sprints today. I mean, you had it all down, man. You had the Cedar. You had everything down that he does.
Is that my best one?
That is. Oh, that without a doubt. Yeah. What were your other ones?
Sean McDonough.
No, not as good as Ed. That Cedar was the best.
Joe Tessitore.
No. No, because the McDonough and the Tessitore kind of bleed over.
Yeah, I don't know which one's which anymore.
How about Kevin Harlan? How about a Kevin Harlan? I mean, that'd be great. Kevin Harlan.
I mean, you can't just name a random dude and think I got an impression.
Well, can you do it?
There's a streaker on the field. No, I can't. I mean, come on. They're all the same.
No.
Every interview, yeah. every guy I do is pretty much the same. It's either the monotone announcer, or it's a guy with a little nasally voice there that I can pull off. I do two different things. It's Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.
again, sometimes you got to improvise. Tomorrow, you know who we're going to talk to tomorrow at 8:05? Wade Phillips was almost a Packer coach. We're going to talk to him. I believe he's still out of work right now. So maybe he wants to do weekly hits. We'll see. I don't know. 8:05 tomorrow, Wade Phillips. Yeah,
when we last left Wade off, he was the defensive coordinator of the LA Rams. And departed ways. He wants to get back into the coaching business. Yeah. But there was a time when the Packers were looking for a head coach. And before they hired Mike McCarthy, they interviewed, Ted Thompson interviewed Wade Phillips.
He made it to the airport, right? I feel like I remember that on the news.
Something like that. But I think Ted Thompson did it as a courtesy because Ted played for his dad, Bum Phillips, down in Houston with the old Houston Oilers. Played for him. So it was, I think it was just a courtesy call, one of those things, a token interview.
Well, we'll ask him about that. His book is called Son of Bum, talking about his dad, yeah. And it is available now. And Wade Phillips will join us tomorrow. The longtime NFL coach, assistant head, and other will join us at 8:05 tomorrow. The good folks at Window Select can join you for your remodeling projects this spring and summer. Window Select, local Milwaukee-based company, offering replacement windows, sidings, and doors. They've got products that are all high quality, all energy efficient, and they all come with a lifetime warranty. Oh, wait a minute. It's a double lifetime warranty. So even if you live to 180 years old, it all comes under a warranty. For every window you buy, you get one free. And then 36 months of interest-free financing. Check it out, Window Select. Now, they are still able to come out to homes and do some of the projects that you need. So if you get them out there, what they do is a home estimate for you to begin with. And those are free. So a free home estimate anytime. Anytime you need a home estimate, Window Select will do that for you for free. You do it this week. You set it up. A $50 pick and save gift card is yours. There's no purchase necessary. You're already getting the free in-home estimate and then a $50 gift card to pick and save. Check this great deal out right now, windowselect.com, 262-703-3500. Windowselect.com, 262-703-3500. Again, the free estimate and a $50 gift card to pick and save. One thing we haven't discussed yet is something that the Milwaukee Journal put out last week and that Adam McKelvey's working on right now on Brewers.com. I believe Adam is spacing his out at Brewers.com, but the Journal Sentinel put out their 50th anniversary team for the Milwaukee Brewers. At catcher, we'll start there. Jonathan Lucroy and Ted Simmons get the nod over Dave Nilsson and Charlie Moore. Any objections there? I know that the Brewers already put theirs out, Brewers.com. They've only done catcher so far, and Lucroy was their catcher. So Lucroy, in his seven seasons, gets over Teddy Simmons and gets over the longtime Brewer Charlie Moore and among others. Got over Greg Zahn, Andrew Susak, beat out some of those guys too.
Simmons' best days were with the St. Louis Cardinals. When he came over here, he struggled initially. Lucroy had a better Brewer career. Simmons had obviously a Hall of Fame-type career, if that makes
First
sense.
Base, Richie Sexson and George Scott got beat up by Cecil Cooper and Prince Fielder. I've got no issue there.
Oh, God, no. Cooper deserves the nod over Prince Fielder there, too.
Second base has historically not been a great position for the Brewers. It was manned by Jim Gantner for a long time, so that could be part of the reason why. And then Ricky Weeks held the position for a long time. So those two guys are on the Brewers' 50th anniversary team from the Journal Sentinel. The next guy would be Fernando Vina. So It's pretty much that. That was one of the easier positions.
Yeah, Keston Hira will surpass all three of those guys.
Now, they got Robin Yount onto the team. They put him down as the shortstop, him and J.J. Hardy, and then Jose Valentin would be the third guy, but on the team is Robin Yount and J.J. Hardy. So they did that to make sure they could get the full outfield, but Robin Yount as the shortstop. When did he move over to the outfield?
I want to say mid-'80s, because he had...
Because when I grew up, he was only an outfielder to me, and I remember the first time that I either looked on one of his baseball cards or I talked to my dad about it, and he told me he used to be a shortstop, and I couldn't imagine that. I still have a hard time picturing that in my head because I've always known him, you know, mid-80s, born in 84, I've always, and he was my first favorite player, but I only knew him as an outfielder.
He was an MVP as a shortstop and an outfielder. He was a shortstop in 82. He came up as a shortstop, you know, he was in 1974 as an 18-year-old kid. And I want to say 85, he had an injury that made him move to the outfield in center field because he couldn't make the throws from short as well. And they moved him out in center field and did a nice job in center field. I mean, he had the catch in center field in 1987 to rob Eddie Murray of breaking up Juan Nieves' no-hitter. So I want to say maybe 85, 84 or so.
Yeah, so he was not a shortstop. He wasn't a shortstop as long as he was an outfielder. Well, he started in 74. I mean, he played for the Brewers for a long, long time.
Sure, 20 years.
So he's a shortstop in J.J. Hardy. The third baseman, Paul Molitor and Jeff Cirillo, they beat out the other two options, Don Money and Aramis Ramirez.
What's funny about Molitor, he came up as a shortstop when Robin Yount held out in 1978 on a contract dispute. Yount held out in 1978. They called Molitor up. He was terrific. He stayed up here. Yount ended up coming back. Molitor moved to second base, eventually third base, moved to right field, moved to center field, played DH, played some first base, but they got him as a third baseman. I remember more Molitor as more like a DH or a second baseman, but they got him at third. So
I remember him too.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Molitor, you put him at short, he'd be the best shortstop. You put him at second, he'd be the best second. He'd be the best third. He'd make the outfield. You put him anywhere, and he's the best at that position.
For left field, they've got Ryan Braun and Ben Ogilvie.
Boy, Big Ben had some big years with the Brewers.
Both of them beating out Greg Vaughn, who you were never a fan of.
No. Yeah.
As a kid, terrible. Dude, he was my guy too.
Hey, you remember when I told you I could fix Giannis' swing? I always wanted to fix Greg Vaughn's swing because he had a horrible hitch in his swing that I could have easily fixed that no one ever fixed and eventually caught up with him. But 1 year Vaughn hit 50 homers with the Padres when he left here. I want to say Ben Ogilvie, Vaughn isn't even in the close to the category as the other two. Ogilvie deserves to be two, but yeah, behind Braun. Braun should be the starter in left field.
Gorman Thomas is your center fielder on this.
Without a doubt. Was a home run king 1 year, 1979. He hit 45 home runs. A legend in town, without a doubt. There might not have been a more beloved Milwaukee Brewer than Gorman Thomas during his run from 78 through the early part of 83 and after they traded him in May of 83. And then he came back to finish out his career, but it was a shell of the former player.
And then right field is Jeff Jenkins and already a spot for Christian Yelich.
Christian Yelich, way over Jeff Jenkins.
So over Jeremy Burnett, Sixto Lascano, and Corey Hart.
Sixto should be up there a little higher than he is. I feel Sixto should be, it should go Christian Yelich and then Sixto Lascano. Sixto was a fantastic right fielder. Man, that guy had a cannon in right field. He had maybe the best arm in Brewer history from right field. Man, he could wing it and throw guys out at the plate. I feel Sixto is the second best right fielder in Brewer history.
Let me ask you this. Who would your starting five be for the Brewers all time? Pitchers.
Oh, pitchers? Boy, I'd put Teddy Higuera.
He's on
Teddy there. Teddy Higuera, Mike Caldwell.
Yep.
Don Sutton.
Sutton's not even an honorable mention, according to the journal.
I would. He's a Hall of Famer. He should have been. But, you know, he had some nice years with the Brewers, but maybe they feel his better years were with the Dodgers. Those three for sure.
They've got Vukovich, Yovani Gallardo, and Ben Sheets.
I'd put Yovani on her. I wouldn't put Vukovich. Vukovich won a Cy Young in 82. I thought Vuk was the luckiest pitcher alive. He had a lot of run support. I don't think Vuk, plus I didn't like him as a person. yeah, I did. Ben Sheets could never win more than 10 games and could never stay healthy. So I'd go with a four-man rotation and keep those. You know what? I'm going to put Augie as my number five guy.
Yeah.
I would have put Augie as my fifth guy in that rotation.
There you go. The relief pitchers, Raleigh Fingers, our boy Ken Sanders, Frankie Rodriguez, John Axford, Dan Plesac, and Josh Hader.
As a Brewer, I want to say Plesac was the best closer in Brewer history.
So there's three current guys on this team for the 50th anniversary team from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Josh Hader and Christian Yelich and Ryan Braun. And what they're doing at Brewers.com is they're just picking one guy at each position. There's two catchers on this team. They're just picking one guy, and they're spacing it out a little bit. They've already done catcher, and they gave that to Jonathan Lucroy.
You know, I think as far as back to the closer thing, you know, from 87 to 89, Plesac was as dominant as you could be as a closer. I mean, he was much like Josh Hader, but I'm going to still give, if I'm going to choose one guy to finish off a game by a slight margin, I would choose Plesac over Josh Hader. But yeah. I mentioned Plesac would disagree with me on that one.
Well, I mean, you watched them both.
Yeah, I watched them both, but I would take, and I'm sure people would, but Plesac, man, he was so good. And then he just miraculously fell off the table in 1990. He just lost it for some reason. And he never was quite the pitcher he once was. But from 87 to 89, he was unbelievable as a closer.
A couple minutes. Can we think of guys that would make up an all-bust team?
An all-bust?
Man. Yeah, Mike Felder.
Tiny Felder, he was probably the fastest guy in Brewer history.
What about who was the guy they had that would run bases? Remember Mel Stocker?
Mel Stocker?
Yeah, they had him like a few, I think that might have been 08.
Marshall.
But he was
Edwards?
One of those guys because a couple years ago they had Quentin Berry that they stashed in the minor leagues just because he would steal bases. And then he ended up being, in 2017, he ended up being the guy that had the last out at the plate. When they were playing, who were they playing? The Pirates or the Cardinals?
The Cardinals.
Get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they lost that game on Sunday and then or Saturday. And Quentin Berry was the one that was the last guy out.
They had a 5-0 lead in that game.
Yeah.
It was a Saturday afternoon in St. Louis. Yeah, I remember watching it on TV. Yeah.
Ben Hendrickson.
The all-bus team. Boy, I wish we could take more time for this all-bus team because, yeah, Ben Hendrickson, oh, absolutely.
We've got 5 months to figure it out. We're good.
Yeah. There was a lot of guys. Lavelle Freeman. There was a name, Lavelle Freeman. At the time, he was considered Lavelle Freeman. The black Wade Boggs.
Relation to you?
No. Spelled like Antonio, but man, that guy tore it up in the minors. I mean, he could hit like Wade Boggs. And he was just awesome in the minors. And he came up here and did nothing.
Brad Nelson had that good spring training that one year at first base.
Yeah, but Brad Nelson was never going to develop anyway. He went 0-22, I remember, to start. But, God, Lavelle Freeman was great.
Matt LaPorta, but they traded him.
Antoine Williamson. Just got to go down the Brewer number one picks of all times. And there's
Matt Gammel.
Matt, I never really had high expectations for Matt.
Oh, I had huge expectations for Matt. Oh, yeah.
Did you? Okay, I didn't. You know, I mean, you look at the past Brewer drafts, especially those Kenny Felder, who was supposed to be the next Bo Jackson, the Brewers version of Bo Jackson, couldn't get it done.
Who else?
Antoine Williamson, who was like a fourth pick of the overall draft back, I want to say, in 1991, third baseman, bombed out completely, couldn't hit. Brewer signed Franklin Stubbs to a 3-year contract from the Dodgers in the early 90s, and he was awful.
Oh, I liked Franklin Stubbs. Extend Kenny Clark tweets in and says, opening day, more like nopening day.
Okay. Good joke.
What's a joke got to be to get a laugh from you? I thought that was good. Nopening day?
Some good jokes. That was a good joke.
Al says, Greg Vaughn, 15 years.
That was funny.
Okay. Greg Vaughn, 15 years in the MLB with 355 home runs. His 162-game average for his career was 33 homers and 100 RBI. But he had a hitch in his swing Chuck could fix. Ha, 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 ha.
Well, okay. Well, you're welcome to say it in my face next time we go to public. That guy, whatever his name is. Come up and tell me that story, and we'll settle it from there.
Vote for us losers in the Fandemonium bracket. That opens up at 6 o'clock tonight. We'll be back tomorrow with Wade Phillips, the NFL, longtime NFL coach. He will join us at 8:05. Much, much more. It's Chuck and Winkler. Be safe. Enjoy the rest of today, whatever it may bring you on this opening day, 2020. Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.